Transportation Committee and Mount Pleasant Town Council for this Tuesday, September 6th meeting. The previous committee meeting ran a little over, as this one may well do as well, but that's the way it goes when we're trying to get the work done that we need to do. I don't think I've seen this many people at a committee meeting in a long time. So I'm glad everybody turned out, got the word. It's good to see you all here. Our agenda has been published. I hope everyone has a copy of that. We'll move to item number two, which is approval of minutes from the July 5th meeting.
Move for approval, Mr. Chairman.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. The minutes are approved. Item three is public comments. When you come forward, we need your name, your address, and there is a clock by ordinance of the town. Everyone has 2.5 minutes. You will hear it go off when your time is up. So please come forward, give your name and address and public comments. And before we do that, I just want to remind everybody, this is the Town of Mount Pleasant's committee. We are not DOT. We're not in charge of this project. DOT is here. We want to get real clear with DOT about the registering of your comments with them because they keep track of all of that. They do a very good job of that. So your comments are directed to the town. I encourage you to also make those comments by any way, email, website, or whatever, to the project, to the state DOT on this, because they are the ones responsible for dealing with it. We're just trying to help our citizens. So with that, we'll move to public comment. Name, address, and 2.5 minutes, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. My name is Daniel Sinden. I live at 300 Shoals Drive. Committee members, thank you for your time today. In order to be respectful of your time, there'll be a few of us that'll be speaking in conjunction with each other. If I could ask the audience members that are opposed to the SEDOT alternatives to please stand. Thank you. Committee members, we are here to express our sincere concerns with the SEDOT plans for 526 at Long Point Road interchange improvement programs in our town of Mount Pleasant. It's our desire to help educate the committee members and the town council on exactly what is being proposed and how it affects all of us. As you probably know, the town will be required to sign an agreement with the SEDOT on these plans, and we expect our elected representatives to ensure our concerns are fully addressed before any agreement is in place. To be clear, we have multiple concerns with what's been presented thus far as alternatives by the SEDOT. We also want to be clear that while we understand the need for real improvement at the Long Point Interchange, both from truck traffic and increased vehicular traffic in the future, we also fully support our South Carolina ports and understand the economic importance of the Wando Terminal for our town and our state. We believe better solutions to these traffic problems exist than what has been presented by the SEDOT. We are passionately opposed to alternatives 2 and 6 because both plans call for the construction of a new interstate interchange that is literally located on top of the communities of Grassy Creek and Tidewalk, which will further affect the communities of Bell Hall and Moultrie Park. This new interchange consists of huge elevated bridges that concentrate traffic at our neighborhoods. It would involve condemning homes and taking property from our neighbors, some of which are present today. The four neighborhoods consist of approximately 1,200 homes, so an elevated bridge in this location will cause real, lasting, and inequitable harms to our residents. Alternatives 2 and 6, which have been listed as favorable by the SEDOT, will reduce truck traffic on the port side of Long Point Road and in front of three neighborhoods, Hidden Cove, Oak Park, and Hopcaw Creek Plantation, but will do so at our expense by placing it in the front of our neighborhoods. We empathize with those neighborhoods on Long Point Road next to the port. I'll give up my time. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hi. Angie Anderson, 396 Tidal Reef Circle. I'll pick up where he left off. We emphasize with the neighborhoods on Long Point Road next to the port. Most of us have good friends in these communities and visit them often, and we understand their concerns for safety and their families. We believe a solution exists to benefit all neighborhoods near the port, by reducing truck traffic off Long Point Road and expediting truck access to our port, all without the undue burden these options place on our neighborhoods. In fact, we've presented several ideas to SCDOT, and they deserve consideration and further study. Additionally, all of the current SCDOT proposals include eliminating the current left-hand turn from Long Point Road onto Bell Hall Parkway. This is a critical entry artery for our neighborhoods and dozens of our local businesses. Removing it would cause significant traffic issues for the thousands of residents that use it daily. We believe that a lighted intersection is the best long-term solution for traffic and safety. Again, we've presented several solutions to SCDOT and would be happy to discuss them with the committee members as well. Our safety concerns with the elevated flyover truck bridge are as follows. There are several points. Reducing truck traffic off Long Point Road by moving it to the front of Grassy Creek, Tidewalk, and Bell Hall communities places concentrated and elevated truck and car traffic much closer to more homes than the solution resolves, causing real, inequitable, and lasting harm to our communities. Each of the Long Point Road neighborhoods have large wooded buffer areas that separates Long Point Road truck traffic from their actual homes. Comparatively, alternate 2 and 6 place this truck traffic right at the front of Grassy Creek, Tidewalk, Bell Hall, with no buffer. This bridge, literally in our neighborhoods, will impose health and safety risks to our children and residents that walk, run, bike daily at the entrances and along Seacoast Parkway. These safety concerns are well documented with thousands of tire pieces, particles, sections of full tire treads, loose truck parts, dust and dirt in the air, on the ground, and next to bridges with high-speed truck traffic. Concentrated diesel exhaust pollution increases the potential health risk for everyone living near the bridge, especially children and immunocompromised in our communities.
Thank you.
Lee Lazarus, 247 Palmetto Bluff, Grassy Creek. One thing that I would quickly mention is the intersection that is slated to be done away with by DOT in these plans has been rated an F, and currently, to my knowledge, is still in. And we're talking about the turn at the Waffle House going into the Bell Hall, which I'm sure you're all familiar with. Eliminating that would be a tremendous burden on everyone and complicate traffic. To pick up where she left off, the projected flyover truck bridge entrance on 526 aimed straight down Rat Hall Creek before turning at the front of Grassy Creek and tidal walk entrances, and will deliver noise and light pollution from an elevated position right down the creek. It will have a disastrous effect on the entire front half of Bell Hall, Grassy Creek, and tidal walk neighborhoods. I'd also add that at the second meeting they had, each and every station where you asked an engineer or anybody with SCDOT, had they ever been to the front of our neighborhoods to even understand what they were proposing to do, not a single person answered yes. They all admitted they had never been to our neighborhood. Everything was looking at 50,000-foot projections looking down. That's how they based their decisions. Wetlands at the end of Rat Hall Creek are less than 100 yards from the proposed bridge and would certainly be affected. These wetlands are overseen by DHEC and ACOE and are a critical part of our neighborhoods, as well as an additional conservation easement that was established by the Audubon Society in conjunction with 5 other conservation entities after the port was established. Actual eminent domain of the Grassy Creek HOA property, with the logical expectation of future eminent domain and or inverse condemnation of Grassy Creek homes, is still a possibility. I would also add that SCDOT has had no direct conversation with the people in the Tidal Walk community that are slated to have their homes taken. The only reason they knew about it was because I went and knocked on their doors. And it was not denoted on any maps at the second meeting they had at all. Nothing. You had to ask to get that information. Actual eminent domain of Tidal Walk HOA property, their amenity centers and pool and 2 homes, the potential inverse condemnation of other homes is possible. Mitigants for flooding, drainage, and runoff from the bridge, particularly in lieu of modifications to Grassy Creek and Tidal Walk ponds and retention ponds, are also a possibility. Traffic concerns. Closing the Long Point left-hand access onto Bell Parkway would severely disrupt the traffic patterns and greatly increase congestion. The 4 neighborhoods contain 1,180 homes, 77,800 square feet of business and retail space, 2 schools with 1,480 combined students, church, firehouse, etc. Using the standard trips per day single-family residence equates to a combined total of 13,779 trips per day. Thank you.
Thank you.
Jared Wilkerson, 224 Kildare Court, and I'm picking off where we left off as well. Fire station number 2 on Paul Fester would have significantly limited egress for emergency calls with this proposal, as all 4 neighborhoods, Grassy Creek, Bell Hall, Tidal Walk, Multi Park, both schools, Bell Hall and Elementary, Palmetto Christian Academy, one church, East Cooper Baptist, and the numerous businesses entering on Bell Point Drive and Egypt Road must use Paul Foster. Bell Point Road traffic already backs up onto Long Point Road each day at multiple times due to Chick-fil-A drive-through line, which wraps around their property onto Bell Point Road and back to Long Point intersection. The owner confirmed they do 2,000 sales a day out of this location. The problem exists now and will be worsened with the plans for several more traffic intensive businesses which will be built on this road. Trucks from the port often park or idle in the middle of Bell Point Road and Bell Hall Parkway, blocking the center lane while awaiting permission to enter the port, with a backup that occurs at the intersection of Bell Point and Long Point Road and Chick-fil-A traffic. It would be impossible to enter Bell Point Road several times a day. I've noticed personally trucks backed up even during the school drop-off hour. In addition, the SEDOT plan would route inbound and outbound vehicles from all 4 neighborhoods plus businesses around a single small traffic circle at the intersection of Bell Hall Parkway and Paul Foster Road. Paul Foster is already heavily used corridor due to 2 schools located on Egypt Road. We are very concerned about safety issues for the hundreds of children running, playing, bicycling, golf carting, outdoors on our roads, sidewalks, parks, and playgrounds, as well as traveling to and from school on a daily basis with the increase in traffic on Paul Foster. This issue is compounded on Sundays with the 2 biggest churches in Mount Pleasant, which are holding services, being Seacoast Church and East Cooper Baptist, which are both located a block away. Dozens of businesses, including many offices and restaurants like Waffle House, would be greatly and negatively affected by eliminating the entrance of Bell Hall Parkway from Longport Road. All entering traffic would be rerouted to Bell Point and back around the single small traffic circle.
Thank you. Next, please.
Yeah. Craig Anthony, 227 Palmetto Bluff and Grassy Creek. Let's see where we are here.
Very common concerns.
I'm sorry?
The last line of concern.
Okay. Dozens of businesses, including many offices and restaurants like the Waffle House, would be greatly and negatively affected by eliminating the entrance to Bell Hall Parkway from Long Point. The DOT has stated that they're not able to fix all the traffic issues on Long Point Road, but will be focusing on the interchange improvements, meaning that improvements at these local intersections will fall to the town and county to address in the aftermath of the SCDOT's plans. We want to meet with the town's leadership and engineers to understand these future plans. In conclusion, the residents of Grassy Creek, Tidal Walk, Bell Hall, and Moultrie neighborhoods, along with our businesses, vehemently oppose all options, which include a flyover bridge placed at the front of or next to our neighborhoods, and we will not accept closing the critical entrance to Bell Hall Parkway. Yeah, I don't know if any of y'all have been there during school drop-off and pickup on Paul Foster. I mean, it's crazy. And to think that Paul Foster will become the main artery in that area is definitely something that's going to need to be solved. But I appreciate your time, and thank you for supporting your community.
Next, please.
Good morning. Pete Taylor, 444 Barbadian Way in Bell Hall. I know that we've got a choreographed group that's doing it. They've done an excellent job. I'm also president of the HOA for Bell Hall, but I'm here speaking as a private citizen, and I just wanted to reinforce what these folks have been saying and bring this to the council's attention that what's being proposed is not acceptable at this time. But we also recognize that growth is inevitable. The port is an economic powerhouse, and they're going to get what they need. But I just wanted to emphasize to this council that work with this group, listen to this group, and we're not unreasonable folks. But in the same sense, this could be a catastrophic event for these neighborhoods. And we appreciate your time and look forward to working with you to get some resolutions. Thank you.
Thank you. Next, please. No one else to speak. Last call for guests, please.
My name is Laura Deal, and I'm from 829 Tupelo Bay Drive in Bell Hall. I am responding to an emotional issue. We know traffic does not bring out the best in people. I used to, four years ago, be able to walk from my home to CVS. Now my life is at risk. I have almost been hit, I have been cursed, etc. The traffic is unbearable. What also has happened is that when people get frustrated driving, they make poor decisions. We have seen people make U-turns right by Waffle House. I can't even repeat all the things I have seen. The point is, people are frustrated drivers, they make poor decisions, and safety is at risk. The mere thought of all of us being concentrated now on two roads to get out of Bell Hall Plantation is just mind-boggling. Knowing the way people are driving with the attitude of frustration and so forth. I don't want to waste any more time speaking of this. I think everybody is well aware of frustrated drivers. But putting this pressure on Bell Hall residents will only increase it, and safety should be a paramount consideration for all of us. Thank you so much for your time and effort.
Thank you. Next, please. Anyone else? Yes. No.
Sorry.
Love it. Yes, ma'am.
Hi. I'm Patty Sachs, and I live at 837 Bridgetown Pass, Mount Pleasant. Wanted to thank the members of the community for that excellent presentation, and I am going to reiterate some of the same points simply because I would feel bad if I didn't say anything. Paramount of concern is safety and our health. I think that there are extraordinary pressures on the community if this should happen in terms of the environment, flooding, wildlife, pollution, noise, and safety. It is impossible to get around traffic at Chick-fil-A time. I have so many times eked around that line and boom, there's a car there. If you minimize take away any egress or ingress, it's going to create extraordinary backup on Long Point Road and not help anything. The fire department, I've read numerous times in community Facebook posts, people saying, my kid had an emergency and I couldn't get out of the city. I couldn't get out of the neighborhood. So you've got the fire department, you've got schools, as has already been said, a different solution needs to be made to accommodate these trucks. And I don't know about that Leatherman terminal, but I have read something that is also an option for the port. So please, as representatives for us, take into consideration this huge neighborhood that is growing all the time and is becoming the pressures on it. They built a new school. They don't even have enough classrooms for that. There's just no other way to get in and out. So take into consideration what other options are out there, because this one is way too dangerous. Thank you.
Thank you. Next. Last call. Anyone else for public comment? Well, I want to thank everybody. The decorum, the preparation, the level of discussion was just makes me proud of our town. It's just fantastic. I want to thank you all for that. And I want to move to the next item on our agenda, item 4, which is an update on the Long Point Road interchange improvements by the director, Joy Riley, who I have had the pleasure of being at many, many meetings with. Joy, thank you for coming. Thank you for hearing our community concerns. And I know your job is not easy. And we just want to hear where this is going and what the process is and your thoughts.
Absolutely.
So thank you very much.
Thank you for having me here to speak. And good morning to everybody. And thank you all for coming out. I don't know if you want to forward through to the keep going. Yes, since we don't have much time, we'll just keep going. there's one that has an environment. There you go. Stop right there. There we are. So I just want to give context. This is exactly what DOT is looking for when we ask for public comment. I just want to give context for folks in the room. Those that do projects all the time understand this, that we are in our National Environmental Policy Act process. There's multiple levels of public input. The type of input that we have gotten over the last 30 days is exactly the kind of input we're looking for. Just like when you develop any project of any kind, infrastructure is the same way. You start very high level. What is the problem? What are potential ways to fix it? And we are really at that top level, trying to figure out how to fix the traffic problems. All the stuff that we've put on paper doesn't have a lot of engineering design to it. It's all designed to meet standard. The closing of the left turn at Bell Hall is an interstate design standard that we are meeting, and it goes with every single alternative. It's going to be an issue at any interchange improvement at Long Point Road. It is something that we will try to work through with the town and try to see if there's concessions we can make to make that better. But at the end of the day, the interstate system is the lifeline in this area. It's how we get people out of the way of hurricanes. We need to make sure it functions and that it has mobility, especially in those times of emergencies. From our perspective, we're trying to balance those things, meeting those standards. And certainly there's a process for, doing design exceptions or design modifications to those standards if we are able to mitigate for those issues. But our whole entire goal is to find a solution, evaluate those solutions, modify those solutions to address the public comments, to try to find that, strike that balance between fixing the problems in the best way that we can. We can't fix them all. There's certainly, we run into this everywhere in Charleston. I've been working in this area for almost 10 years, and I can tell you that we do not have a lack of problems. We have a lack of funding to fix problems. So, we certainly are going to have some of those areas. We do in every interchange that we do in the Charleston area where we start to evaluate the next intersections down. And literally, I could chase that rabbit to the state line because we just have so much congestion in this area. And it becomes a domino problem. But this slide right here just kind of shows you where we are in our process. Because we did the planning and environmental linkages study first last year, those public scoping meetings that really happened during that process to really find out from the public what they thought the issues were and to develop some of those very early stick drawing alternatives. We have performed a lot of technical studies over the last year. We have developed the alternatives that we presented, which some new ones got added in from the ones we showed from the planning study. And as you see, we've even modified some alternatives. You will see us modify alternatives through this process. Before we get down to the public hearing, you may see alternatives that have A's or B's next to them. And that means we took an original alternative and we modified it based on community comments and concerns. And made it a variation of that original form of the alternative. So we are really in the middle of this process. Town of Mount Pleasant is always very vocal when we do projects, and that's fantastic because I would much rather hear these concerns very early in the process. It is very frustrating when we don't hear them until we're out there starting construction because my hands are pretty tied at that point. I have a contract with a contractor to go back and change what we're actually building. So the process is working. You guys engaging in the process is a good thing. We've met with a lot of the community members to better understand their concerns. As of, I think, the 28th, we had about 315 comments, about 6,000 viewers to the actual virtual public meeting, 300 people that came out in person to the public meeting. We're probably going to land somewhere around 400 or I've probably got 100 comments in my email box right now that kind of came in at that last minute that I've got to get through this week. So we'll probably land somewhere in that 400 to 500 comments overall. So that's a fantastic engagement. Our job over the next couple of months will be to really process those comments, investigate some solutions to some of the key major issues. We will put out a summary of all the comments. they're not, a lot of them are the same kind of comments. So we will put out that in the next couple of weeks so everyone can see the engagement that happened with the residents in the town and what the general comments looked like as far as concerns. So we look forward to working with the town, working with the communities to resolve the comments and try to find that best balance. We're not going to make everybody happy. My job is not to make everybody happy. My job is to strike that balance. Finding a solution that fixes the problems in the best way we can, but also balances the needs of the communities and reduces the impacts to residents and the environment. So with that, unless you have any questions for me, that's pretty much where we are.
Okay. As I always do, I'll start with committee members. Your comments or questions?
Yes, sir. First of all, thank you very much for allowing our citizens to present comments. We didn't get to see the proposals. Are they on this set of slides?
We do have a website. There's probably a couple slides that show the alternatives. And I keep going. There we go. So we had originally we had four alternatives. We presented six at the meeting last month, and really it was there were three that were carried over from the planning study, and then there were several new ones that were added. And we did put some initial, the way we look at these at this point, when we presented these a month ago, we really did very high level traffic analysis. So that's really looking at, do these alternatives actually fix the problem? Not detailed traffic analysis, but a very high level, because we don't want to spend months building traffic models and analyzing an alternative that still backs up traffic on the interstate for a mile during the peak hour. If it doesn't fix the problem we're trying to fix, then it's not worth spending time on it. So that's what we've done here. There were several alternatives just to the nature of the alternatives, like the diverging diamond interchange, this alternative number three, that really it did not perform well in that high level traffic analysis. But sometimes those interchange models are really complex, and they really need to go through that more in-depth traffic modeling to really understand whether that it really can fix the problem. And so the reason we didn't put a green on it is because of those nuances. It doesn't mean that it's not going to work. It just means that we've got to do the more in-depth analysis in order to evaluate that specific type of interchange model because it's so complex. So the green ones, obviously, I mean, it's just like trying to push water through a pipe. If I got two pipes to put it through, it's obviously going to perform better. Adding the new access ramp, obviously, from that high-level traffic analysis is going to perform better because you're splitting that traffic over two different ways to get off the interstate. So just wanted to explain that because I think that might have been perceived at the meeting that those had already been selected. No, they just performed the best from that very high level traffic analysis. The more in-depth analysis is what counts. And it's certainly at the end of the day, when we do all our alternatives analysis, it's not we're going to pick the one that has, you know, an A plus traffic analysis. That's not the way the NEPA process works. The NEPA process looks at a variety of things, which has to include A, traffic analysis. We want to know that it actually fixes the problem, right? Or it's not worth doing it. But we have to balance that with looking at the number of homes that are impacted, the number of businesses, the number of acres of wetlands, streams, all of those things. And so that's at the next level what we'll present will be that matrix where you can see, kind of follow that decision-making process, and then we will present a recommended preferred alternative. It may not look like the ones that you're seeing here on the screen because all the comments that we've received, all the ideas, and so can you look at this? Can you consider this? We are doing that work now. Over the next few months, we'll evaluate all that, and then you could see that we come back and we have a 2A or a 2B or a 3C, whatever that ends up, however many ever iterations we end up going through. But ultimately, you know, our goal would be to take these further through that design process and make those modifications.
Let me continue. In some of the public comments we received, it talked about homes being taken. You're not prepared for that yet.
No, no. We've really, I mean, that is a high-level consideration. Like I said before, any of these that pass the muster through our in-depth traffic analysis, and I assume that probably all the four that are marked in yellow and green will, or is it three? Go to the next one. Okay, it was the two red ones that did not. So there'll be four alternatives that will go through that in-depth traffic analysis. And in that matrix, we'll evaluate the number of homes and businesses. So that will be taken into consideration at that level. But as far as going and knocking on people's doors and things like that, we would wait until we're much further. We right. have to get through this process first because we don't want to unnecessarily panic someone, especially when we haven't even picked a preferred alternative. Once we pick that preferred alternative, we still have to seek our approvals through our federal highway partners. So until that approval process and the environmental process is complete, we don't typically contact property owners. We do notify everybody. So we sent postcards to everyone within a certain radius of the project termina. And that would certainly include any potential impacted businesses and homeowners.
Right. One more question. I'm sorry for taking up too much time.
No, but, you're not. He is the professional engineer in all this, if you don't know that. So we would prefer you ask most of the questions.
The State Ports Authority has a plan to operate barges between the Wando Terminal and the North Charleston Terminal. Just got built. Has that issue been taken into account with the number of trucks coming in and out of the port with any of these designs?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's part of our process. And so our design engineers, we have a design consultant on this project, have consulted with the engineers at the Ports Authority to make sure that we have the right growth projections and numbers. And those numbers take into account any adjustments that the ports plan on making in their operations.
And then finally, I think one of the things that concern people probably the most is the expedited process for this particular project. I'm happy to hear that you're nowhere near even final public hearings, that while this may be expedited, we're not talking about something happening tomorrow, next week, next month, or probably even next year, based on the schedule that you're going to have to do. So I think that was one of the biggest concerns that people heard, that you're going to expedite this so much. And I bring that up because with all of the innovative ideas that you've come up with for what's happened in the North Charleston area, I would suspect that you're going to be able to do some very innovative things here too. So, and I thank you for that. And I'm that's it.
I'm done. You've got no argument from me. Ms. Court?
I just have a few. Besides facilitating an event such as this where you're getting to hear more public comment, and this is for you. So besides us doing what we're doing right now, and thank you, Mayor, for making this happen, what exactly is this council's area of influence? Can you make that a little bit clearer? Because I've heard different.
Yes, ma'am. That's a good question. We'll have to bring Mr. Pagliarini in on this. We do have some form, as I understand it, of that we have to recognize and support the alternative that's chosen.
Okay.
To what extent and what that means, legal's researching it right now. In other words, to what extent does the town have the ability to deny the alternative that was selected, and what does that mean for the community? And so he's researching that in pretty great depth as we speak. He may be in the room and can comment further. I'm not sure.
All right, great. That helps a lot as we move forward with this. And would an option ever be to do nothing? Like if enough people, just doesn't matter where you go, you've got some kind of fire, or just DOT ever go, well, you know what, we'll just let you guys sit in traffic for a couple more years before you come.
Well, I definitely think projects have been stopped or, sometimes they get delayed so long that no longer you have adequate funding.
Right.
Oh, a couple projects in this area that have had that problem. Yeah. You know, so actually a no-build alternative is always an alternative. But please understand there are consequences with a no-build alternative. As congestion increases, your crashes are going to increase, and those crashes are going to be more serious and fatal injury crashes as congestion increases. So there is a consequence to doing nothing as well. But, you know, our goal at SCDOT would be to work with the town, obviously, to come up with a solution. You know, there are times that we have gone with solutions that didn't fix the problem as well as some other solutions could have. I think y'all probably, in this area, we've made those concessions, and you can probably feel it a little bit now because you ride through that interchange, you say, didn't DOT just fix this interchange? It doesn't feel like it. So there, and that's a consequence, obviously, to those types of concessions. You know, but sometimes those things have to happen in order to at least get some remedy out on the roadway. So yes, we make those concessions when we have to. But you know, our goal is again to try to find something that can strike a balance. Again, it's not going to make everybody happy, but something that addresses the concerns enough and also fixes the problem enough that you don't feel like we just finished this project and now it feels like we need to do another one. That's all, also just not a good place for folks to be in the future as well.
Yeah. Thank you. That's a great answer. And can you remind me again how impacted neighborhoods get a postcard in the mail? Because I know we had some residents say that they wouldn't have known unless somebody had knocked on their door. But do you think they did receive notice from DOT?
Well, when we do send postcards. We also obviously post signs and put things out. We do have a stakeholder list, and we've tried to get, I think, most of the HOA on board, you know, representatives on board. But again, they tend to change over time, so it's kind of something that's hard for us to keep up with. When we do postcards, we do like any advertiser would, so it's a zip code type thing. So it's not like I have to have accurate addresses for everybody. I define an area, and we say it's like delivery direct, whatever that is. And so everybody gets a postcard, almost like an advertisement in your mailbox. Again, I let my mail stack up sometimes. And we typically send these postcards out like a week or two in advance because it has that virtual public hearing website on there. And if I send it out too early and that site's not up and running, then people sew it to the side and forget about it, and they never go to the website. And so it's kind of a tricky thing that we have to try to figure out to make sure. Because, again, I had 6,000 people go to the virtual meeting. I had 300 people come to the in-person. So my virtual platform is extremely important, and we get a much bigger reach with that. And we want to make sure we give people that opportunity.
Well, I'm really happy to hear that you guys do look at those comments and move along based on those comments and impacts, and it makes a lot more sense. Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Yes, sir. I think my fellow council members are doing well.
Thanks. I got a couple of quick questions. Would it help if we send you a transcript of this meeting to use those comments? I'm betting that most of the people who spoke today have given you those, but I just want to make sure that what we received here today, since we're not really on your time, you're graciously on our time, goes into your record as having been concerns of citizens of the town.
Absolutely. I think that would be helpful.
Okay. I didn't know if you could actually use that or not, is what I was getting at.
Anything that's submitted, and even though the comment period's closed, I mean, I work on all these projects on 526, and believe me, I still get comments on other projects where the public hearings happened a long time ago.
Right.
So, I mean, you can submit comments at any time. Okay. We look at them. It's not like they go into a black hole.
Okay. How do we, as the town of Mount Pleasant, as the representatives of all these people, how do we work with y'all in the process to modify the alternatives? I take it that yes, there might be, you know, alternative 4A, 4B, and I know it was not a state project, but with the county, we saw that on Highway 41. I think one of them, alternative 7, is down to 7Z or something. It's been modified so many times. But to work with y'all to modify these, can we as an elected body actually work with y'all? Are y'all allowed to do that? or is it just a matter of, you know, who's the squeakiest wheel?
No, absolutely. We would encourage that, especially in a situation like this where if our project is within the town limits.
Okay.
So we want to make sure that you guys are fully engaged. And I think, you know, Brad and I talked about this is because we knew there were some traffic issues with the removal of the left turn at Bell Hall and some other issues. So I think we discussed last time maybe having a traffic workshop where him and whoever he feels, whoever y'all feels necessary can engage and kind of we can present where we are with things and kind of the issues and talk about those potential solutions and in a more technical manner.
Okay. Because the biggest takeaway for me today from your very informative talk was that so far the alternatives have been at the higher level and now you're getting down to the more granular level. So the question would be, or things like impacts on quality of life, commute time, is that what you're talking about you'll be getting to now? Like if that intersection has to be closed and everybody that lives there has to go another way, how's that going to impact school traffic, church traffic, recreation traffic, our fire station, you know, the amount of time in cars? So we would want to really be involved with you as you make those kind of decisions, which leads me to my final question is, when will you be making these modifications to the alternatives? Because that's probably where we need to be with you the most.
Yeah, and I mean, again, we had a schedule laid out for this project, but whenever you have a lot of controversy and you're going to start going into multiple iterations of alternatives, that's probably going to extend that schedule somewhat.
Okay.
So, I mean, the process takes as long as it takes.
Right.
You know, we're not going to, you know, belabor the process, but, you know, I think we do have a lot of comments and concerns to work through, a lot of issues. So it will happen over the next 6 to 12 months. I don't know that I can pinpoint exactly. We were hoping to get to a public hearing in 6 months, but I'm not sure that that's going to happen.
6 months from now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hopefully at the first of next year. And we may still be able to make that. It just depends on resources and time. And
right. Nothing's going to be final in the next 2, 3, 4 months.
No, I would say, and I, you know, expressed this to some of the community members that wanted to go get petitions signed and everything. The public hearing is the big decision hearing.
Right.
So at that time, DOT is going to present, again, that matrix alternatives analysis so you can see how we weighed each thing with each, how we weighed them against each other. And then we're going to highlight one and say, this is the one we're going to recommend to be carried forward. And you'll be able to look at that detailed, you know, design at that point of whatever modified alternative that is. We get comments at the public hearing. You can make sign up, make formal comments. You can submit written comments the same way you would any meeting. And then from that period, we would take several months to go back and review all those comments and address them. You may even see us modify an alternative a little more
right.
based on those comments. And then we would issue our final environmental document for approval. And once that's approved by Federal Highways, then that would be the alternative that gets carried forward. Now, again, that alternative may change slightly even through the final design process, but, you know, how the footprint of the impacts and things like that don't necessarily usually change too much past that environmental approval. If you do change it, after you've got that environmental approval, if you do change the alternative so much that it changes the impacts, you got to go back and reevaluate that environmental approval, which means you have another public involvement process.
Okay. Okay. I think that answers a lot of questions. I think we're going to be working very closely with you
in
the future. And I'm sure you'll be back here as well, too.
Absolutely. Anytime.
Joy, thank you so much. Yeah. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Very informative. We have on the list item number 5, update on ongoing projects. I think we're already a little past time for our next meeting. We can do this next, and it pales in comparison to the impact of all of this, I think. Anything else from committee members? I want to thank everybody for showing up today, and especially thank you for the decorum and professionalism with which it was all addressed. Thank you very much. We're adjourned.